Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Gary Gulman is a Peabody native and a very funny guy. You might have seen the comedian on Conan O'Brien's TBS show or on NBC's Last Comic Standing. Gulman's style is the comedic slow burn. Here's just a bit of a sketch he recently did on Conan about smartphones and how they've made everyone even more unreasonable.
If you use it on me, oh, God help you. How dare you? I am furious when I get a phone call. You text me first to see if I'm even taking phone calls today. And I'll text you back with a window. But we are relentless with how we want the phone to be better. Like, we want all our music on the phone. You want all your music on the phone. No, I'm sorry, I misspoke. We want all the music. Every song ever on our phone now. Okay, but like, what are you willing to pay for that? Pay for it? Nothing! Nothing! Nothing. My offer is this. Nothing.
Gary Gulman will be at the Wilbur Theater tomorrow night. He recently sat down with us to talk about his winding path into comedy.
I was raised by a single mother. I would entertain her at night over the dinner table and basically do routines that I had seen on the Dinah Shore show or on Merv Griffin or on Mike Douglas shows that were on in the afternoon and imitate the comedians that I had seen.
So was it those dinner table conversations that really made you fall in love with comedy, or did it come?
Well, I was in love with it just from watching it. My mom was pretty nice about letting me stay up to watch Johnny Carson when I was a kid, so I would see David Brenner and Robert Klein and Gary Shandling. I fell in love with it. I found it so magic how they were able to tell these stories or tell these jokes that I could really relate to, even when I was, you know, 6 or 7 years old. I really could laugh and enjoy them and then repeat the jokes and get laughs from adults. So,
you know, you were talking about how a lot of the comedians that you watched as a kid, their comedy came through the form of stories. And it seems like there's a lot of that in what you do now. And I want to just play a clip here because you tell this winding story with some laughs along the way, of course, but there's always a huge payoff at the end. And this clip is from your most recent special, which is on Netflix. The special is called It's About Time. And you're talking about the fact that you're in bed and you want to watch Shawshank Redemption. You say that you told your older brother about buying the movie on iTunes, and,
yes,
and then that was a mistake. And here's what you say.
Yeah, what are you doing, yeah? What are you doing, kid? Come on, pal, buddy, chief, boss, dude, bro, guy. What are you doing buying a movie you already own for $15? Like, what, it's $15. Who cares about $15? Nah, it adds up, kid. It adds up, guy. $15 here, $15 there, it adds up, guy. Not my philosophy. It adds up. Please. Let me tell you something, and pay attention, because this is true. It only adds up if you add it up.
So, Gary, I'm curious, is that what your brother really said?
No. I have a theory that Christians have an angel and a devil on their shoulder, and Jews have other Jews on their shoulder, that my entire family is on my shoulder at all times. So my brother, who's on my shoulder at all times, questioning my moves and my decisions and my purchases, was there. But my actual brother, he didn't actually say that. It was just it was a conversation I had with my brother on my shoulder, if you will, and that was the result.
Where do you get most of your inspiration from?
I would say I get a lot of it just from everyday events that happen to me, stories that run-ins I have with life, and the things that irritate me. I wouldn't call myself overly irritable, but I know that if there's some irritation, there's probably a joke there, and there's something that other people can relate to, because I think it was Emerson who said that the personal is universal. So I really believe in that, that I can talk about things that happen to me and the people can relate to them readily.
You know, I'm thinking about, I just rewatched this routine that you did where you had this hilarious joke, which had me in stitches, about role-playing with your girlfriend to spice up your intimate life. And you were a Jewish college professor in a college that didn't hire Jews.
And they didn't hire Jews.
And she wanted extra credit. I mean, that one...
Well, she wasn't pulling her weight in class, yeah. It turns out she just wanted sex, but I wanted her to be a better student.
And not waste her parents' money.
Right, exactly.
She said, oh, yeah, you going to give me some extra credit? I would love some extra credit. I said, I'll give you more extra credit than you can handle. And she said, I believe I can take every inch of your extra credit. And I said, that's not how we measure extra credit. I don't know what they did at UMass, but here.
It's a little clip from you on Conan O'Brien. That little shot at UMass there.
Yeah, my brothers went to UMass, and I always deride UMass because I went to Boston College, so there's a rivalry there.
You didn't go straight into comedy. You went into accounting?
Yes. I worked for what is now PricewaterhouseCoopers. Is that what?
Yeah, I think they're PwC now.
They're PwC now. Yeah, I was an accountant for 2 years, and I was incompetent and very distracted because I was doing stand-up comedy at night at open mics and amateur shows wherever I could get on stage.
Well, so was Boston or Greater Boston a good place for, you know, building that comedy career?
It was great. There were a lot of opportunities to get on stage, and the audiences were very generous and a good test of material. And the other comedians were so good. There was a lot of inspiration and a lot of people to motivate you to get better. So I think it was the ideal place to start doing comedy.
But so let me play a different clip entirely. This is from your 2012 special, In This Economy. And you talk about billionaires, particularly Bill Gates, who at the time in 2012 was worth $59 billion. It's now more than $90 billion, by the way.
I know.
So and part of your routine involved you saying that the best part of being Bill Gates is that he could talk down to Donald Trump.
Sees him at a party, goes up to him. Hey, what's up, Trump? Just looks at him with that disdain that nobody else really can. What's up, Trump? You sicken me. You're so tacky. You're so gauche. I made $59 billion. And I call my business Microsoft. I don't call it Gatesware. You egomaniac, you put your name on everything, Trump on everything. It's not underwear. You're not going off to summer camp. Stop it.
Given the fact that Donald Trump is the Republican nominee for president in 2016, how does that joke sound to your ears right now?
It sounds very, very odd because I didn't realize he was actually going to be this much trouble. I mean, I don't remember the timing of the special, but it had to have been after the birther movement, because I think the birther movement was during Obama's first term. So yeah, I think that's what got under my skin about Donald Trump, and I quote unquote let him have it with that. But he bounced back after that. I'm surprised he was able to handle such a shellacking by me.
What's something you think most people would be surprised to know about you?
That I suffer from a pretty severe depression. I was diagnosed at 19, but I think for a lot of my life, I experienced these kind of dark moods that were really really problematic and continue to be. But it's something that I've addressed with therapy and medicine, and hopefully I'll put it behind me for good.
Problematic how?
There are some days that it's just very difficult for me to get out of bed and function, and I'm so critical of myself that it's very difficult for me to write new jokes. I'll just be so critical of them, or even critical of the things that I already have, that it's just the self-criticism can be overwhelming and paralyzing.
Well, Gary, if you don't mind me asking, it seems to me that for someone suffering from such deep depression, getting up on stage is like the last thing that that they might want to do, right?
Yeah, there are some nights where it is the last thing I want to do, and I have a 100 different pep talks that I give myself, and I must say that I 100% of the time feel better after I've done the shows. But then there's a lot of times a reset in the morning, and it's very difficult to internalize and hold on to the feelings that I had the night before from the shows. So it's yeah, it's a paradox, I know.
It is a paradox. I mean, I'm only saying this because I feel like, I mean, everyone sort of who experiences depression, it manifests in different ways, but like there's this urge, I'm just speaking from personal experience, to hide, right, and to withdraw. But
yeah,
you're doing the exact opposite. You're making yourself like vulnerable in the most public way.
Yeah. I have plenty of time during the day to isolate and hide and stay away from interaction with people. But in some nights, it's just like, listen, you're going to get into a lot of trouble if you don't show up to the show. So you have to do this, and it doesn't have to be perfect. Just go up there and say your first lines, and I bet you'll be able to get through it. And so far, so good.
I have to say, I'm really moved. I'm really touched by the fact that there's a lot of effort that you have to put in to do what you do every day.
Yeah.
What do you love most about doing this?
When I can get a new joke to work, when a new joke that I thought of recently gets people to laugh, that's like a high that I can't compare. It really makes me feel like I'm still creative, like I'm still viable, like I'm still relevant and smart, and it makes me feel really good about myself and the direction my career is going. I get an excitement that's unmatched really in my life.
Well, Gary Goldman will be performing at the Wilbur on Saturday, October 1st. His latest special is called It's About Time. You can see it on Netflix, but better yet, go see him at the Wilbur on Saturday. Gary, thank you so much. It was really great to talk with you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to talk to you. You're wonderful.
We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.